Take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, John chapter 3, we'll read probably the most familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus is speaking. He's having a talk with Nicodemus. And here he's telling Nicodemus how to be saved. And he gives him the gospel. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your power and your strength. Thank you for the promise that you're with us right now. We need thee. Lord, these next few moments together, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts and lives, and strengthen us, encourage us, and help us. I pray especially for the ones that may be here without Christ as Savior, that this would be the day they trust in thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray for thy strength to work in our lives, to help us to see, Lord, your love in a greater way. Lord, may we be faithful to thee. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In all the Bible, there's many great subjects, many great themes. But I think the one recurring theme is the greatest theme of all, and that's the love of God. There's no greater theme, there's no greater subject in all of the Bible than the love of God. It's changed more lives, it's changed more happenings, it's changed more outcomes than any other thing. There's nothing greater. If you've experienced today, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know the love of God, and you understand that the love of God has done something in your life that no one or nothing else could do. And you realize that everything you do in your life should be based on your love for God. And everything that God has done has been based on His love for you. That's an amazing thing, isn't it? Why did He go to Calvary? Why did He suffer and bleed and die? Because He loved me. That's why. And because He loves me, He's given me so many things. And because I love Him, I ought to give myself fully to Him. And I want us to look at the love of God today, and I want us to see some things about this wonderful subject on the love of God. First of all, I want you to see the person of this love. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." I want you to think about that. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 15, verse number 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." The person of this love is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He manifested the love of God on the cross of Calvary. Love was manifest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter number 4 and verse number 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And listen to this. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The person of this love is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that Christ was the love of God manifested. God robed Himself in flesh. Remember, we talk so much about the humiliation of the cross, but before the humiliation of the cross was the humiliation of the manger. that God would leave the portals of glory and take upon Himself the form of a servant and be born through the womb of a virgin and be born in a place where no one ought to be born. But He was born there in that manger, in that stable, in that barn, in that cave, in the side of the hill. And Christ humbled Himself and came into this world. He's the person of this love. He's what the love of God is all about. He's the manifestation. He brought the love of God to man. Christ came into the world. That's the person of this love. But I think it's very important for us to not only see the person. We hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, but what about the people of this love? What about the people of this love? The Bible says, for God so loved the Americans. No. For God so loved the Jews. For God so loved the Asians. It's not what it says. But in a sense, it does. For God so loved the world. Who are the people this love? The whole world. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much that His Son was manifest in the flesh. His Son became His love to us. If you look in the Bible, you see the people of this love. Different kinds of people. In the Gospel of John, we see several different people. In John chapter 3, for instance, there's Nicodemus. Here's this ruler of the Jews that came to the Lord Jesus by night and had questions for Him. And Nicodemus is part of the people of this love. Go to the next chapter, chapter number 4, and there you're going to see the woman at the well. You remember the woman? Nicodemus comes by night. The woman goes to the well at the noonday hour, so nobody else will be around. But the Lord Jesus is there, and He loves her in spite of her. He knows everything about her, but He loves her. You can go on to chapter number 5, and you can see a man at the pool of Bethesda, and there he is. And of course, you know, every year the angel comes and troubles the water, and he wants to be put in the water. The first one in the water is healed of their infirmity. And the Lord Jesus comes to him and says, how come you're here? How come you're not there? He said, I have no man. And Jesus said, now you do. He didn't even have to go in the water, did he? And the Lord Jesus healed the man there at the pool of Bethesda. That's the people of this love. What about the woman taken in adultery in John chapter number 8? You remember, here was the pool of Bethesda. Here somebody had no man. Here in chapter number 8, there's a whole bunch of men bring this woman and accuse her and say she was caught in the very act of adultery. Of course, you remember the story how the Lord Jesus stooped down and He wrote something in the sand, and then He stood up and He said, those of you that are without sin, you cast the first stone. And He stooped down and He wrote something else in the sand. And when He stood back up, there was nobody there except for the woman. You know what? They all realized we're all sinners. And of course, you know, He forgave this woman and she was saved this day. That's the people of this love. What about in John chapter number 9, the man that was blind from his birth? Boy, people had all kinds of questions about him, didn't they? You know, first of all, what sin did his parents commit? Well, it's not about a sin that his parents commit. The Lord allowed him to be blind so he could prove himself. And of course, then the man gets healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it raises more questions. And he said, I don't know a whole lot about him. All I know is that once I was blind, but now I can see. That's the people of this love. What about Saul? Boy, the persecutor of the church. The one that was out there going after people at these churches that were in people's houses and persecuting them and bringing and even confirming that they needed to die. Yet one day on the Damascus Road, he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And after all the things that he had done and all the persecutions that he had wrought and all the harm that he had caused upon the church, that day he was made blind so that he could see. God shined the light from heaven. The Lord Jesus spoke to him and changed his life that day. That's the people of this love. When we talk about the love of God, the person of this love is the Lord Jesus Christ. But the people of this love are people just like this. People like Nicodemus. People like the woman at the well. People like the man at the pool of Bethesda. People like the woman taken in adultery. People like the man that was blind from birth. People like Saul of Tarsus. Every one of these people had two things in common. Number one, all were in this world. And number two, all were sinners. Every one of them had those two things in common. There is not one of us that's here under the sound of my voice today that doesn't have the same things in common. We're all in this world. We're all sinners. God loved them. God loves you. Don't ever forget that. How much does He love you? He loves you that He sent so much that He sent His only begotten Son. The person of this love is the Lord Jesus Christ. The people of this love are all the people of the world. For God so loved the world. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? His love changed these people. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you've never experienced this change that I'm talking about, you've never been made alive in Christ, can I tell you that God loves you? He knows all about you and He loves you. You're in this world and you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in spite of your sin, God loves you. That's the people of this love. Then I want you to see the place of this love. The place of this love. Look with me, if you will, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. Verse number 27. The Bible says, Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe me not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We look about the person of this love, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that the people of this love includes all kinds of people. As a matter of fact, it includes all the world. But there has to come a point in your life where you receive the love of God. You receive the gift that God has for you. Now God loves you in spite of you. And God is offering to you eternal life. God is extending His love to you in the fact that He sent His Son into the world to die for your sins. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, there's a special place that you go to. You go to His hands. That's the place of this love. We're in His hands. And we're in the Father's hands. Isn't that what the Bible says? He said that nobody will pluck them out of my hand. Nobody's going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in this thing together. So the moment that we're saved, He places us in His hands. And if you're saved, that's where you are right now. What greater place in all the world could you be? In other words, the only way for Satan, or for circumstances, for anybody to be able to get to you is they have to be more powerful than the Lord. And that's not going to happen. There is nobody like Him. In other words, when the winds are howling, you're safe in His hands. When the storms are upon your life, you're safe in His hands. When the world is crumbling apart all around you, as His child, you are safe in His hand. When Satan is coming at you and he's accusing you, if you've trusted Christ, you're safe in this place. We see a lot of things about this. We see, first of all, we see in this, we see His sovereignty. This is an amazing thing. He knows all about us, but He still loved us. He knew, before I was saved, he knew all about me. And he still saved me. And guess what? He knew everything I would do after I was saved. I mean, things that weren't right. The sin, the things that you do. The sins of omission, the sins of commission. The things I should have done that I didn't do. The things that I shouldn't have done that I did do. Since I've been saved, that's been part of my life. Before he saved me, he knew all about that. He even knew specifically what I would do. And he still saved me and placed me in his hands. And he said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It's good to be saved. We see in that the sovereignty of God and the fact that he knew all about us, yet he still saved us. We see in that his sacredness, the fact that there's no other that love, there's no other love like God's love. You know, we talk much in this world about a mother's love. I'm convinced that a mother's love in a lot of places isn't what it used to be. But we understand what we're talking about when we say a mother's love. Well, mother's love don't compare to our Heavenly Father's love. He loves us. He loves us in spite of us. His sovereignty, we see the sacredness, and then we see that security, because there is no greater power than his. I'm safe. It's a good place to be in his hands. It's a safe place to be. It's a wonderful place to be. Protected. I have that assurance today. Everything's all right. I'm in his hands. You're in his hands. And regardless of what may come our way, we're safe in Jesus. That's the place of his love. What a place. So we see the person of this love, we see the people of this love, we see the place of this love. But then I don't want you to forget about the promise of this love. The Bible says back in our text, John chapter 3, verse 16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says in verse number 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. So once you believe in him, and then you believe on him. You place your faith in him, and then your life is put on his, and his life is put on you. In other words, there's some promises that go along with that. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world so that the world through him might be saved. Well, when we get saved, there are some things that he promises us. And we can take hold of these promises today. I like it when somebody says, I promise you I'll do that, and they follow through. Don't you? Don't it aggravate you when somebody says, I promise you, and then they don't follow through? As a pastor, you get a lot of promises. People tell you they're going to do all kinds of things. They don't follow through. I mean, it's upsetting sometimes. And sometimes I've even promised people things, and I didn't come through. That's terrible. But here's a promise that I can assure you that you'll never have to worry about. What God promises you will always, he will always come through. If you have experienced the saving grace of God, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have believed in him, put your faith in him, there are some great and precious promises that you can hold on to. First of all, you'll have the help of heaven. That's how you're going to make it through. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Guess what? Every day of your life as a believer, he's there. And you can make it through life knowing that he will never leave us and never forsake us. That's a promise you can hold on to. He promised he'd always be with us. Not only the help of heaven, we have the hope of heaven. You remember what Paul said when he was writing to the church of Colossae in chapter number 1, verse 27, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27? He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love that word hope there. It's a great word. It's not the word that the way that we use it today. It's a word that says the assurance of glory. When Christ is in you, you have the hope of heaven. Every day, if you're saved, you can live with the promise that you have the hope of heaven. What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week in our life? What's going to happen next year? Will there be cancer? Will there be sickness? Will there be heartache? Will there be sadness? We could probably say yes. We're going to get hit by some of these things. But with Christ in us and us in Christ, my hope is not in this world. My hope is in heaven. My hope is in Christ. That's all that matters. It's Christ. That's the promise of this love. The help of heaven, the hope of heaven, and then a home in heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the promise of this love. The song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm telling you, dear friends, just as sure as I'm standing here, one day I'm going to be standing over there. And I'll have a home in heaven. It's not just a home that an ordinary carpenter built, but the carpenter. The Lord Jesus Christ has been working on my home. What a place that's going to be. Amen. That's the promise of this love. So we've seen the person of this love. We've seen the people of this love. We've seen the place of this love. And now we're seeing the promise of this love. There's so much more that can be said about God's love. And you know, you can't even touch the tip of the iceberg with it. You can't. It's hard to comprehend. You can hear about it. You can read about it. You can talk about it. But until you experience it, you'll never really understand it. But once you have experienced the love of God, then you don't have a problem understanding all the things that I've just said. Once you've had His love save you and change you and make your life new, it'll give you something worth living for. It'll help you to love others. It'll help you to lead others to Christ. The question is, do you know the love of God? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? God loves you. He extends His love to you, but He don't force His love on you. But He makes it available to everyone. There's not a soul in this building that the Lord doesn't love. And there's not a soul in this world that God cannot save. But it's your choice. If you're here today without Christ as Savior, you have two choices. You can either receive Christ and His love, or you can reject Him once again. But it's your choice. What are you going to do with it? May the Lord help us. Let's bow our heads. We get ready for a time of invitation. Do you know the love of God? Have you experienced His saving grace? If you were to die today, can you say beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven will be my home? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, let's be sincere about this. How many say, preacher, I have experienced this love. I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. There's been a day in my life We're asking Him to forgive my sin, come into my life to be my Savior. I have that assurance that heaven's going to be my home, not because I'm perfect, but because I put my faith in Christ. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven? God bless you. God bless you. If you couldn't raise your hand, then today, why don't you come and let us show you in the Bible how you can be saved, how you can experience the love that God has for you. Just about every hand went up in this place. It's wonderful. But are we taking the love of God for granted? Do you realize what this love has for you? Are we living according to not only His love for us, but are we loving Him the way we ought to love Him by the way that we live? Oh, may God help us. As God speaks to your heart, will you obey Him today? Would you come forward in just a moment? Father, we give this time to Thee. Have Thine own way. In Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand.